Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Hey, 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 everybody. Greetings and welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. It's Truthful Tuesdays. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my absolute pleasure and honor to be your hostess on Tuesday with this show. You know why? Because I have the absolute world's most incredible individuals that agree to come and share their world with us. And tonight is no exception. Oh, my God. Just wait until we get into the show for tonight. You're going to be extremely educated and impressed with what you're going to learn, what you're going to find out, and with our guest tonight. So, but before we get to that, because, you know, I can just keep going and going and going, right? But before we get to that, we always anchor ourselves by giving thanks first and foremost to our ancestors. We honor our ancestors for paving the way for us and for being that strength and having that courage and never saying never, never stopping, always providing the way for us. And for that, we get to stand straight and tall on today. And ancestors, we just appreciate you for that, for showing us the way and for allowing this time to be here for us now, and especially on Tuesday nights, as sometimes we go way outside the box to bring you information and knowledge. And so it's just with a great deal of gratitude that we say thank you, ancestors. We love you for now and forevermore. Ashe, ashe. And next, we take it just another step and we allow ourselves just to relax and unwind from the activities of today. And I do a daily inspirational message at revsandy.wordpress.com. And every day there's a new message to keep you uplifted. And they've been going around the world for a number of years now. So I'm only going to read you a small portion of today's message. If you're so inclined, you can go to the website, revsandy.wordpress.com, read it in its entirety. Subscribe to the blogs and have them delivered automatically to you. So today's post, well, actually this was yesterday's post, called Evolving. And it says, evolving is an act of movement. It is neither stagnant nor dormant. Evolving is growing and expanding. Evolving is action. I evolve with great expectations. I thrive for excellence in my endeavors and growth. I give my best efforts in evolving into a better human. I stay focused on positive outcomes and hold only positive expectations. Growing. I am allowing my light to shine for myself and others. I light the way with truth, humility, and justice. I am a beacon of unconditional love and appreciation. And again, that's just a small part of the daily inspirational message, and that is called evolving. If you want to go back and read the entire message from that. Whew, yes, yes, yes. It's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight we're going to be talking about the MTS Sickle Cell Foundation, and their initials is MTSSC. And we have with us tonight the founder and CPO, Mapila Don. She's going to be coming on to explain to us what this organization is all about and what is sickle cell. For us, it is, I'm not going to go there because, look, I'm getting ready. Y'all, I keep trying to go straight through the show, so I'm going to stop. I'm going to slow up. But we have a special guest. In addition to Ms. Don, we have Shirley Goff, who will be joining us as well. And I got a little secret behind Ms. Goff to explain to you. So, audience, you know you're always invited to be a part of the live discussion. All comments are welcome. And our intention is for anyone that wants to be heard, can be, and will be heard. So to do that, you would call in to the show at 516-531-9819. And even if you've already called in, you must hit the one on your dial to let us know you want to speak live on air, because not all people that call in want to speak live on the air. And once you do that and your line is open, please, once you say what you have to say, then put your line on mute so that we have the best possible playbacks for those individuals that like to come back and listen over and over and over again. That may be you. You may want to listen to this show again for the knowledge that you get from out of it. And so we just ask that so that we have the best available for those. And then some of our regular listeners don't stay up quite this late, and that's 9 o'clock on the East Coast. And if you ever want to listen to any of the rebroadcasts, you can do that by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers, and that's SandyRodgers. And so we are going to take us a short music break. And when we come back, we're going to bring our special guest to the microphones and let them tell you about the MTS Sickle Cell Foundation and what's happening in their part of the world. So we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Just bear with us as we take this music break. Enjoy the music, and we'll be right back. smooth, Mr. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. I second that emotion. Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I tell you, we are in for a treat tonight, and I'm so excited to bring this organization to the forefront to you so that we get to learn together the awesome work that they're doing within the community. And I also understand that some of you are having some technical difficulties, so just hang in there with us, please. And, you know, if you need to call back, call back. Just don't give up on us because we're here. We're going to stick it out, right? So the theme of tonight's show, or the name of tonight's show, is the MTS, Multiple Sickle Cell Foundation Incorporated, or MTSSC. And we have the CEO and the founder with us, Pillar Dawn, and we have her volunteer coordinator with her as well, Shirley Goff. And if that name Goff sounds a little familiar to you, that's because that's my mom's maiden name, right? So we're exploring if we're related, but like I tell you guys, if you're Armstead or Golf, you my friend, my family regardless. So let me get back to the show. Since 2015, the MTSSC have been able to build a very engaged online presence, check these numbers out, of over 50,000 users from all around the world. So tonight, the awesome founder and CEO, my Pillar Dawn, who has willingly taken on the responsibility of building this much-needed institution. So she's here with us, right? She's a true leader and force to be reckoned with. She's a mother on a mission, and I'm excited to find out what has inspired her vision of raising much-needed awareness surrounding this global health issue and providing support to families that are affected by sickle cell disease. So we're going to listen tonight and have Ms. Dawn give us information on how we can come together and help to support her and the positive impact that she has on the lives of those that are living with this disorder, sickle cell anemia. And maybe, you know, you've never heard of it or have very little knowledge about that. So that's why I'm opening up the microphone and opening up the show to the MTS Sickle Cell Foundation, its founder and CEO, and the volunteer lead person, so that we get to learn firsthand. And remember, if you have any questions or comments, please save them until after Ms. Dawn has an opportunity to at least give us some background so that you'll have some basis for your questions and comments, right? Thank you, audience. You know, I love you guys. So, Ms. Dawn, are you here with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule to be a guest here on Life, Love, and Wellness.
Absolutely. It's my absolute pleasure, Ms. Sandy, to be on your show. I really want to thank you for allowing us the use of your platform to talk about a condition that's really a problem in this world, especially for the Black community, and that is sickle cell disease. So just thank you. I cannot thank you enough for just allowing us to be able to raise awareness, as you said, much needed awareness surrounding this global health issue.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you. And you guys, she just left a meeting. So she worked all day. She's been at a meeting, and now she's on with us. So I'm just... It's that type of dedication to the work that you're doing that makes the difference, right? So, and yes, Ms. Shirley, you're on with us as well?
Yes, ma'am. I am here. Hello, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. And so, Ms. Don, I want to get back to you and your reasons for starting the organization. And if you could give us a little more information about the history of sickle cell, you know, so that we understand exactly what this is, because some people have not heard of that term before.
Right. Absolutely. So the MTS in my organization name, it stands for My Three Sicklers. So that means this is a personal mission for me. My three daughters all have sickle cell disease. So that's kind of going a little bit into, going a little bit ahead with the story, but to give a little history on sickle cell disease, first of all, what is sickle cell? I feel like so many people have heard of that term, especially within the Black community. In my advocacy, what I have found is that a lot of people have had some kind of experience with sickle cell. I've gone into spaces thinking certain, you know, demographics, ethnicities, that I need to advocate a little more because they may not know what I'm talking about. And I'm always surprisingly brought back to the fact that this person has heard about sickle cell because they'll tell me, oh, I went to school with someone with sickle cell, or I knew someone who has sickle cell, but they've since passed. So it's one of those things where a lot of people have heard of it, but to what extent they're familiar with the disease and its impact, that's where the education is needed. So sickle cell disease, in areas of the world where malaria is a problem, which we know sub-Saharan Africa, malaria hits sub-Saharan Africa really hard. In areas of the world where malaria is a problem, you will find sickle cell disease, a huge population of sickle cell disease. So every year, over 300 babies, 300,000 babies are born with sickle cell disease. Those who have the sickle cell trait, meaning you are a carrier and you can subsequently, you know, pass on this disease because it is a genetic disease. Those who are carriers, they have somewhat of a protection to malaria. So it's like the body mutated to protect its people in parts of the world where malaria is a problem. However, that protection that is, you know, that it gives the people with the sickle cell trait, meaning you have one sickle gene. In order to have the disease, a person has to have two sickle genes, and each gene is passed on from each parent. So when you have the sickle cell trait, you have somewhat of a protection against malaria. Not that you won't get it, but you're less likely to die from malaria compared to someone who doesn't have the trait. However, when two people have the trait, two people who now have this beautiful protection from malaria, when two people have a child, with every pregnancy, there is a 25% chance that that baby could have the sickle cell disease, meaning each parent passes on that sickle gene to the child. There's a 50% chance that that baby, and this is with every pregnancy, there's a 50% chance that that baby will only inherit one sickle gene and one normal gene from their parents, meaning they now are carriers of the disease, meaning they have the trait. And then there's another 25% chance that that baby will be completely normal. So when a person has sickle cell disease, basically, what that means is This is a condition that attacks the red blood cells. So the defective gene that the parent is passing on, that defect lies in the hemoglobin, which is the protein in our body. It's in the red blood cells, and its sole responsibility is to carry oxygen to the organs and the different, you know, different tissues in your body. However, for a person that has sickle cell, that function is challenged because instead of having round and flexible red blood cells that go through your body just beautifully and just supply the organs with all of the oxygen, right, all the oxygen that the different organs need and different parts of your body may need to function properly, that process is challenged. Their blood cells take the form of a sickle. That's where the name comes from, like picture of a crescent moon or a banana. And so when they are going through the blood vessels, they don't go as smoothly, and they get you know, together, and they're sticky, and they basically they're not doing their job well. And this leads to a host of complications, things like like sickle cell disease. A lot of people don't know this, but sickle cell disease is the leading cause of stroke in children. And, you know, it's not always an obvious stroke. You know, there are silent strokes that are happening. And oftentimes what you will find is while sometimes even the parents don't know that these are happening, the silent strokes are happening, but it can affect the child's cognitive abilities. You know, because every time you have a silent stroke, you lose IQ points, right? Nobody may see that you're limping or, you know, it looks like everything is fine, but your neurocognitive ability is impacted. Sickle cell is just a really harsh disease. It leads to extreme pain crises. I feel like a lot of people associate, people know about those pain crises because, you know, the patient has to go to the ER to get really strong narcotics. And we can talk about that later because there are some discriminations around that because sickle cell impacts predominantly people of African descent in this country. So there are some healthcare disparities that people with sickle cell disease face. But sickle cell leads to like 1 in 3 adults with sickle cell disease experiences kidney disease. Sickle cell leads to blindness because if you, over time of your eyes not getting the oxygen that they need, or there could be blockage of the blood flow in your eye, and it can lead to blindness. Sickle cell can affect every part of your body that blood flows, and that's every part, right? So it's a really horrible disease. And so just the fact that a lot is not known about it, especially within our communities, because it predominantly impacts us. For example, in this country, 1 in 13 Black or African American has the sickle cell trait. That's about an estimated 3 million of us.
Oh, wow.
And if two of those people get together, there's that 25% chance that their baby could have the disease. And I've always felt like not infusing the Black community with that basic education so that families are empowered to make decisions that will impact their lives, I think that's one of the biggest injustices that has been done to our community. Because this is a disease that doesn't get a lot of funding and it doesn't get a lot of awareness, but it really needs the awareness because it's like it's knocking on our doors.
So my pillar, in talking with Shirley, and we were just having a discovery conversation between the two of us and trying to figure out, you know, how we shared that same name, the surname. But I remember as a young person, so we're talking the years ago, And there was a lot of talk back then and testing of black youth around the sickle cell. But honestly, listening to you talking now, I have not heard of people having those discussions in years, maybe 20, 30 years, you know, where people are asking about it or just, you know, talking about it, period. So I understand your call to action and the necessity of you bringing this knowledge back up for us to get it, you know, to understand that it hasn't gone anywhere. The conversation may not be very loud about it, but that doesn't mean that it's gone anywhere. We're still suffering.
Yes, ma'am. You know, probably what you're remembering is the efforts of the Black Panthers. They used to really push for sickle cell awareness for, you know, people of African descent to know their sickle status, so that, you know, that can, in as part of the education surrounding sickle cell disease. However, that went away, and a lot of people, to your point, have, you know, there are times people, I'm talking about sickle cell, and folks say, oh, I thought it went away. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, where'd you think it went? You know, it just, what happened is that people just resolve to suffering in silence, meaning those who are impacted, the families who are impacted, because what you will find over the years has been a culture, really, of just some of the worst treatments that you can think of in healthcare. Because this is a condition that, again, not a lot of research was put into, not a lot of funding. There's not a whole lot of therapeutic options. Quite up until a couple of years ago, for about 3 decades, we had only one drug on the market. And this drug was a drug that was made for cancer. So it was repurposed for sickle cell disease. And, you know, if we know anything about medicine is that it doesn't work for everybody, right?
Right,
so
right.
We only had this one drug on the market for a condition that affects millions around the world. It wasn't available everywhere. Sickle cell's biggest impact is within Africa. And, you know, when we do our advocacy, we always want to hope that what we do here would trickle down. The therapies that are created here will trickle down to where they're most needed. About 60%+ of babies that are born with sickle cell disease in sub-Saharan Africa do not live to see their 5th birthday.
Mm.
That part of the world is being hammered by sickle cell disease, but they really don't have access to care. A lot of them go undiagnosed. And so in this country, the sickle cell patients and their families over time just decided to suffer in silence. Because when they go to the hospital, when they're in pain, they're not taken as seriously as other conditions. They're in pain and they have to wait for 8 hours, sometimes longer. They're told that they're not in pain. They're faking it. They're just there to get drugs. These are patients from a very young age. When you're in pain in the pediatric setting, they give you morphine. They give you Dilaudid. They give you all the hard narcotics. They're standing orders. They treat you very well because sickle cell patients and cancer patients are seen in the same area. You know, oncology and hematology, they're together. So even though we have not had a lot of funding given to sickle cell, because by osmosis, because our kids are staying with kids who have cancer, we have gotten some, you know, some great treatment. However, when our kids transition from pediatric to adult care, that's where you see the disparities. Before COVID came and shined a spotlight on healthcare disparities, like we've been living it, the sickle cell community we're still losing people to sickle cell disease, especially during those transition years where, you know, they can no longer be seen in pediatrics. We barely have any adult doctors who are willing to treat sickle cell patients who are adults. So it's one of those conditions that I feel, you know, if people knew a lot about what it is, what the struggles are, they will care. But sometimes it can feel like the world does not care.
Well, Ms. Dawn, so you talked about the number of individuals that are undiagnosed. Do you think that, well, there, it's a two-part question. Do you think that's because if they don't have the numbers available through the testing that would be performed either here or in Africa or, you know, wherever the additional testing needs to be done, so if there's no numbers to justify it, then they can't call it a health issue? And then the unwillingness to treat the sickle cell, could that be because the doctors are not getting the education that they need in order to deal with sickle cell disease?
You are correct on both fronts. I think part of the problem, especially in other parts of the world, is, well, not necessarily that, you know, because I think what you're trying to, and correct me if I'm wrong, because in this country, when a condition is under, like if it affects 200,000 people or above, it is not considered rare. And so now it gives, you know, it creates this mandate, this, you know, this emergency that you need to act because a lot of your people are suffering from a condition. So could it be that there's not enough of a data collection program because there's an underlying reason or underlying intent to not list sickle cell as something that is not rare? Because, you know, on a global scale, it is not rare at all. Millions of people are impacted. Mm-hmm. However, in the United States, we say that it's about 100,000 people that are impacted. And again, we don't have a robust data collection program, even within the United States. I think in other parts of the world, it's not given a priority. I feel like, and I've said this to some of the doctors I've spoken to, as someone who's from Africa, I am originally from Liberia. I feel like if governments around the world can say, if you don't test, you don't know, so it's not creating much of a burden,
right,
because you don't have the data for it. And I do feel like that's part of it. And that may be part of the reason here, too. Not necessarily testing, because every baby born within the United States is now tested. However, there was a time when they weren't testing everybody, or they will only test you if your mother has the trait or if you are Black. They were missing so many people because, again, there's this misconception that sickle cell is a Black disease.
Mm-hmm.
Sickle cell affects people of all races. In my advocacy, I've seen, like, white people with sickle cell disease. One of our biggest advocates, Capital, he has the sickle cell trait, and he is blonde hair, blue eyes. And because of this misconception, they almost did not diagnose his son with the sickle cell trait. It's like, you know, he came up positive for sickle cell trait, and they're like, this has to be a mistake. And just overlooked it.
Now, there's a lot of prejudice in medicine as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why we find the mistreatment, I feel, it is because even doctors and nurses don't know much about sickle cell.
Right.
There's barely anything taught to them in medical school about sickle cell. So, but they know that, you know, over time they've heard and seen how sickle cell patients are treated, like they're drug seekers. So they take that along with them. they bring their biases into the patient's hospital room because they don't know. And they are not willing to humble themselves, to be vulnerable enough to tell that patient, listen, I don't know what's going on. And I feel like if they allow themselves to do that, they will see that, you know, you have made an advocate with that patient who is very much an expert in their care because they've been living with this for their whole life. And they know what works for them. But oftentimes what you do find is that when a patient is advocating for themselves and is telling them, okay, you're giving me this medication, but that doesn't work for me. I need this. They see that as very, you know, drug addict behavior, and that's how they treat our patients.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not surprised. I remember on one of my first visits over to Africa back in the early 2000s, that a lot of the individuals had been diagnosed as having HIV or full-blown AIDS, but they were misdiagnosing so many individuals over there, and so the deaths were attributed to the virus, you know, HIV or the AIDS virus, when it wasn't that, you know, they actually had something else. And so, you know, that's why I was asking that question originally, because I know that in Africa they have a tendency to massage numbers however the medical field needs them to appear on paper, you know, so.
And for my country, and I'll say this for Liberia, when I started my advocacy, I realized that Liberia is not part of the global sickle cell conversation, and that's because we didn't have any data. And I know for a fact that, you know, there are people in Liberia who are impacted by sickle cell, but a lot of them go undiagnosed. Up until about 2 years ago, my organization, in partnership with some of the nursing organizations on the ground and the American Society of Hematology, we started the very first newborn screening program in Liberia. But Liberia is a country that is recovering from decades of civil war. And, you know, some of your listeners may remember the whole Ebola issue or the outbreak that happened. And that really just shine a really bright spotlight on Liberia's non-existent medical care. And then you take a condition like sickle cell disease where, you know, the patients do need to start being seen very early on and start receiving their medications and routine checkup by a hematologist because that is how there was once a time in this country when sickle cell was a death sentence, not anymore. Because people are diagnosed early, they start receiving care, and now within the last three, four years, there have been newer therapies on the market. Remember I told you we had one drug for like decades. Now we have about four or five drugs on the market that go to the source of sickle cell disease, go to helping to oxygenate the cells. And so in theory, if you're on therapies that are disease-modifying, then your quality of life is going to improve. It's going to, you know, it's going to, as far as your life expectancy, that's going to improve. And so we're not hearing doctors telling parents anymore, or your child is not going to live till 18 or whatever time stamp they give parents. We're not seeing that. We're seeing testimonials from people who were told, oh, you won't live to be 18. These people are saying, and now I'm 35, now I'm 50, and now just celebrating life because now there are better therapeutic options to help them manage their condition.
That's a big plus right there. And to know, so are these same treatments being offered over in Africa as well?
Not all of them, and that continues to be something that, you know, advocates who are not trying to leave Africa behind, we are continuously trying to advocate for Africa and then seeing how, because a lot of these medications are extremely expensive, even for the U.S., even to the point where a lot of patients here cannot afford them if you don't have Medicaid. And then there's the conversation of expanding Medicaid and all that stuff. So, but whatever we do, the advocacy needs to be there. We have to see results. We need to make sure that Africa and other parts of the world who are impacted by sickle cell disease are not left behind.
Indeed, indeed. Very, very powerful statement that you just made. Wow, it just kind of have me all kind of impacted, you know, and hopefully we all are, because, like I said, I remember back in the 60s, the talk around sickle cell and people getting the test and, you know, all of that. I know at one time they had told me that I had the trait, you know, and I guess I still do, but I'm just saying, you know, but since then, Ms. Dawn, nobody has bothered to do any additional blood work in looking for any sickle cell traits or, you know, anything like that. And so, and I don't remember either of my grandchildren or my son being tested for sickle cell as far as that goes. And so it's just really an eye-opener for me as to what truly need to be looking at, you know, in the scientific world, in the medical world.
And what I always say to that is, you know, people with the trait, because I have the trait, we go on to lead very normal lives. But it's important to educate us, not only when it comes to procreation, but there are certain circumstances, if you have the trait, that you have to be mindful. If you are, you know, athletic, you need to know that if you have the trait, it's important that you don't overexert yourself or you could die or cause some serious damage. In high altitudes, you have to be careful because you could actually experience issues. It's important that, you know, you stay hydrated. Not saying that you can't play sports or to scare anyone, but there are certain conditions under which if a person has the sickle cell trait and they're not mindful, they're not being cautious, they could have issues, and they could be fatal. So now you're starting to see the military take, you know, precautions. They're making sure they're testing everyone. Before they used to tag, they're still tagging, but now they're adding education to that. You know, if you have the sickle cell trait, what does that mean? And even athletic organizations now, our kids, if they want to play sports, they have to make sure they know your sickle so that they can take precautions. And even with that,
is that universal?
A lot of here in the United States, let me tell you that the athletic organizations are mandating that. However, my daughter played soccer this last season, and her coaches didn't know nothing about sickle cell disease. They didn't know nothing about sickle cell trait. And so we have to go into these spaces and educate. Because, yes, there is a form and there is a question, do you have the sickle cell trait? But, you know, they're just satisfying their paperwork, right? This child filled out their paperwork. Are all schools, you know, educating their coaches who are, especially in districts where, you know, it's heavily African-American populations. Like this information needs to be out there because this is
for
our
sure.
kids. While sickle cell disease does not impact everybody, but a lot of us have the traits, and a lot of our children are athletic. And even with that too, with the trait, there are certain conditions that we're more predisposed to. People with sickle cell trait, We have a high probability of developing a form of kidney cancer. Well, if you're not educating us about that, then how do we know to keep up with our kidney health, right? Even though we're not sickling at the rate of someone who has the full-blown disease, we still sickle. our blood cells are not all normal. And so over time, the wear and tear on your organs, they're going to manifest somehow. And so I feel like if a lot of research was done with sickle cell trait, we will know why certain conditions are more prevalent within the African American community. I don't think it's a coincidence.
Makes sense to me.
Me too.
Makes plenty of sense. Yeah. Because see, my mind went in a whole different direction. You know that because the standard by which they judge things as being a normal rate, it has nothing to do with being a person of color, but of European descent. You know, and we have learned through, especially through the HIV and AIDS era, you know, the learning curve in the beginning, that the same medication cannot be given to a person of the same build and structure, and for it to work effectively on both. You know, it would kill one and improve the health of another, and it was almost straight down the racial line, you know, as to how it was impacting. And so that's what I was standing on, you know. But what you're saying makes a lot of sense. If we have these traits, and it sounds as if it's a safety net that the creator put in people of color, those that would be more prone to be in a situation or prone to perhaps get malaria and need this additional protection. It all makes sense. It's just how it's not being dealt with properly.
Yes.
I am so thankful that you're on the show explaining this to us.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And, you know, it came here because of slavery. And so you take a group of people who, again, they didn't know if they had the trait. There were some, I'm sure, who had the disease who probably perished during the voyage. But you bring a group of people and you tell them they can only procreate among themselves and they have the trait. So that's really how sickle cell became predominantly a condition that's impacting people of African descent in this country. But it's by no means a black disease. You'll go to Italy and find people with sickle cell. You go to Greece, India, Asia, just the Middle East there's a lot of people with sickle cell disease in every part of the world that you can think of. And they don't look like you and me.
But we're the ones that are having the most difficulty, though, correct, as far as treatment and, okay.
Mm. I mean, and, you know, we have the most difficulty, but ultimately we are going to be the reason why sickle cell is done justice, because we are no longer silent. Just within the last 3-4 years, about 3 or 4 new medications are on the market. And what I've done is use our story to be able to say, listen, this disease affects everyone differently. And so because of that, we need options when it comes to care. What's going to work for one of my daughters is not going to work for the other two, and so forth and so forth. So how do you have just one medication on the market? Something that a lot of patients, they had issues with, because, again, it used to be a cancer drug. So there were side effects like infertility and just different things that, you know, as a mom, I think it was criminal for me to have to make that decision of, you know what, I'd rather my kids be here when they're 18 to decide,
right,
or when they're older to decide they want to have kids, than
right,
them not be here, because you only gave me one choice.
Right. And that's awful.
So, but, you know, we're doing a whole lot of advocacy. We're in spaces where you know, our voices are being heard. We are now, there is now gene therapy where, you know, they're taking the person's stem cells and they're editing them with CRISPR technology, and that's now curing people with sickle cell disease. Before, we could only rely on a bone marrow transplant, which, you know, you need a match for that. If you don't have a full sibling match or someone within your family, you have to rely on the broader public. Well, that's great, but the bone marrow registry was not very diverse. It still isn't. So we have less of a chance of finding a match for someone with sickle cell. It's about maybe 29% now, as opposed to their white counterparts who are close to 50 and above the percentage. Mm-hmm. And so we were heavily challenged there. So now through our advocacy and just raising as much noise as we can, locally, state level, nationally, now we have options. But we still have to advocate for more because our patients are still dying. Our patients are still being stereotyped. And we have to raise awareness because that's what's going to build that sensitivity that we need on a systemic level. It's not just within the healthcare system. It really is systemic. It's within the school system. It's in the social service system. When families are struggling because of this disease, there's really no sensitivity towards it.
So I think that's a really good segue to bring Shirley Goff up to speak to us about opportunities for people to volunteer to learn more about the sickle cell disease and what the listeners can do in order to become an advocate, an activist for making sure that the knowledge is spread within their local areas, their local communities, and that they learn more so that they can help be a part of the positive change towards an effective way to address what's going on in our community. So, Ms. Shirley Goff.
Hello. Thanks again, Ms. Sandy, for having us on tonight. Yes, it's much needed. Our foundation, MTS, is 100% volunteer run. No, nobody gets paid, and we do rely heavily on our volunteers. We go to schools, hospitals, any event not where sickle cell is not being talked about. That's where we want to be. And if you log on to our website, which is my3sicklers.org, and click on Get Involved, you can become a volunteer. We also have internship opportunities as well. And if anyone is listening that is not within our county or here in Georgia, doesn't matter. You are able to volunteer even if you're not local. We have care packages that we send out to warriors across the country, not just here in the U.S., but across the country. So we need fillers to put the orders in. We also rely on our sponsors and our donations to be able to keep this advocacy going. And that's why we try to, well, not try, we do go to the schools and we go out in the community and speak to as many people as we can to get out the awareness. I want to say 2017, 2018, I met my pillar. I needed a connection. I was like, okay, I want to volunteer somewhere my time where it's needed. And when I met her, I was like, yes, this is it. A lot of people think that I have sickle cell. They was like, you have sickle cell? You have the sickle cell trait because I always see you advocating. I'm like, no, I just see a warrior that's doing
so much for the community while needing help herself. As we stated earlier, MTS is my three sicklers. It's her three daughters that she's fighting for. And when she sees a need within her own family, she says somebody else needs the same thing, you know. So it's a pleasure and an honor to serve alongside her as her volunteer coordinator and to, you know, do this thing with her. It's a complete honor.
And she really has me, like, my mind is just spinning, you know, like, the what can I do to help out? So do you guys have chapters in other areas, or is it just here in the Atlanta area? And do you offer, like, training, like virtual trainings for people to be supported wherever they are?
Well, I wouldn't say a chapter. Here in Hampton, Georgia is our headquarters. But we do have, if you were on earlier, you would hear my pillar. She's from Liberia. So there is MTS Sickle Cell Liberia. And we do the volunteer holiday breakfast. I'm sorry, the holiday breakfast is there. I think this is the second year. 2022 was 6 years that we've done it here. If you would like to become a volunteer, what we can do is train you on how to go online to go through the warrior packages to help us get as many of those out. We also, once the link is open, because we are overwhelmed, completely overwhelmed with people across the country needing financial assistance as well, we literally had to shut our link down because we were getting so many families that needed help, to where we don't want to deny anyone, but we honestly had to take care of home first. You know, we were getting people from Texas, California, Chicago, everywhere. And, again, we rely heavily on our volunteers, on our sponsors for donations and things like that to keep our organization running. And it hurted us to have to close our link. So once that link does open back up, we're able to train individuals, again, not just here in Georgia, to be able to help us go through those families and kind of do like a interview to make sure the person is actually, you know, a sickle cell patient, to make sure that they will send in documents that needs to be reviewed to make sure that this family is actually able to receive the financial donations that we are trying to give out, that support. So we do train individuals on that to be able to help us review those applications that are coming in for the financial support.
Okay. You guys, your hands are full with the work that you're doing. I tell you, to be getting these requests from across the nation. And so your chapter in Liberia, then, of course, it handles just through Africa, right? Or is that something that you support from Hampton here as well?
We support it from here, but we do have boots on the ground there, and we are actually, hopefully, 1 year we can surprise them, and come out and join them during the holiday breakfast. I also want to mention, because I don't want to forget this as well, but I also want to mention the bone marrow registry. So, again, as my pillar was stating earlier, we don't have the same numbers as our white counterparts because we don't have a lot of us on the bone marrow registry. So we're partnered with Be the Match. So if to the listeners out there, go to Be the Match website, see how you can actually become part of that registry. It's not hard. It's nothing invasive or anything like that. And, again, it's the education part of it all that kind of turn people away, like, oh, I'm not going to do that, not knowing exactly what it is and how it helps and supports our community. So please get registered for the bone marrow. And that's bethematches@dotcom.org or just Be The Match.
Is it, correct me, my pillar, is it bethematch.org?
Bethematch.org.
Okay.
Go to
and
the
if I can
drive,
just piggyback
know.
Off of, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, my pillar.
I wanted to piggyback off of Shirley, who did a fantastic job. I put Be The Match. One second. I want to make sure I'm giving the correct. Oh, I didn't put the E. My bad. I was like, wait a minute now. But, yeah, it's bethematch.org. I think one of the things that we need to get out there is, and I spoke a little bit to this earlier, we are the help that we're seeking. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to sickle cell disease, that is so, like, real. One of the things that has been really helpful for the sickle cell patient to help in terms of therapeutics has been receiving blood donation. Okay? However, whenever a person is receiving continuous blood donations, as is with two of my daughters. We actually just came back from the lab today. They get transfusions every month to help prevent a stroke. So whenever a person is having continuous donations like that, they have to be cross-matched before every donation to ensure that the donor's blood that they're getting is as closely matched to them genetically as possible. And that's where race comes in. My children's blood is going to come from a Black person. And,
okay,
of course, they have to make sure that, you know, any antibodies that their, any proteins that their bodies have built antibody stores are not included in that blood, in that donor blood, which makes it even more, it kind of lessens the number of people that you can receive blood from. But when it comes to blood donations, we need Black people to donate because sickle cell patients need it. For the very same reason why we need Black people to be on the bone marrow registry, because a sickle cell patient is going to more than likely get their match. Their match is more than likely going to be a Black person.
Right.
So we keep coming back to race. As much as we would like to get away from race, because it's no coincidence that this condition doesn't get the type of funding and support that it gets, is because of the demographic of people it affects.
Right.
It's no coincidence. So we've tried to just say, oh, sickle cell is not a Black disease. Sickle cell is not a Black. We do campaigns around it all the time. But at the end of the day, it affects enough Black people that we need to, you know, kind of hold ourselves, like, hold on now. It's not a Black disease, but we need Black people to help us, you know, because it predominantly impacts us. So that's part of the reason why it's important to educate. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. No, what I was going to say is because the help is going to come from us.
Yes.
Because of what you just said. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It may not be important
to do the blood drives and the registries and all of that.
And one of the biggest coincidences. One of the biggest coincidences that ever happened was that June 19th, is also World Sickle Cell Day.
Oh,
I've seen a lot of people have a problem with that. I don't. I think that is a beautiful thing because I feel like every Juneteenth celebration needs to have sickle cell advocacy attached because that's our audience.
Sure. I love it. Yeah. Makes sense to me. it's like, you know, I know at one time, and I'm not sure how it works now, but I know like for Mother's Day, that was like the breast cancer awareness, you know, telling all women to do the breast checkups. So at least you got one day, you know, out the year for women to do that. So that's why I'm saying it makes sense to do the have the correlation with Juneteenth and sickle cell.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. Love it. Well, I tell you, this has been such an amazing interview and so much knowledge shared with us. One of the things I did want to ask, though, you were talking about the sickle. That's what I remember. And from what I was learned so many years ago was that the sickle can get turned around in the vein. And you made mention of oxygenation. Oxygenation. Yeah, I knew it was going to come out. that would
you
be
got it.
Help, right? I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be a help. And so how does that actually, this is just my curiosity. So how does mm-hmm. that help that?
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. You said, how does it help? Please go ahead and
finish the question. How does it help that irregular cell that's in the blood?
So when the red blood cells are not as round, basically when they're sickled, they don't live as long as the normal red blood cells. So normal red blood cells live about 120 days before they die, and, you know, they replenish, right? For a sickled red blood cell, they live about 20 days, between
Ooh.
15 and 20 days, and they die. So they're always dying off, right? And so one of the biggest complications that you will find with sickle cell patients is that they're chronically fatigued because of the anemia. Their
mm-hmm.
Blood cells are dying off very quickly. They don't have enough time to, as with the normal red blood cells. And so when your blood cells are not oxygenated as they should be, they're not doing their normal function of carrying oxygen to your different vital organs. So you will see that many adult patients, over time, organ damage becomes an issue, and that the different vital organs. A lot of adult patients have to have kidney transplants. Some of them are on dialysis.
With sickle cell?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Because over time, it's an aggressive disease. Over time, it's like you know how plants need sunlight. After a while
mm-hmm.
of them not getting what they need, they may die, or they won't look healthy.
Right.
But over time,
right.
something negative is going to happen, and that's what's happening internally for a person with sickle cell. So it's not always the biggest indicator of sickle cell is not a person having pain crisis, which is very painful, and that is the hallmark of sickle cell. That's what a lot of people know it for, the pain. But, you
okay.
know, there's a lot – every day of their lives, they're experiencing complications inside because their organs are not getting the oxygen that they need. And so what you will find, like in the case of my middle daughter, Deej, when she was in the second grade, she had a stroke. Before she had a stroke, everything was okay. She never had a pain crisis. Yeah, she was being seen by her hematologist, but it was more of a, you know, upkeep, right? She's taking her medication
mm-hmm.
and things like that. But she was at high risk of having a stroke. As I said, sickle cell is the leading cause of stroke in children. And so you can't always look at a patient because they're not exhibiting or experiencing pain and say, oh, they're fine. Oh, they don't need health care. They don't need to be monitored. Well, they still need to be monitored. Their organs need to be checked, make sure they're, you know, they're functioning properly. And if not, so that they can start receiving the care that they need, because what we do know is oftentimes if things are diagnosed early, you stand a chance of having that reverse.
Right.
With sickle cell patients, every day something is happening. Every second, it's within their body. They're not getting what they need.
So, Mom, how are you dealing with all three of your children having the sickle cell disease in their body? So, I mean, you're like on heightened alert all the time, right?
I am. I believe in turning my pain into purpose. And that's really why I started my organization, because I looked around and when I am not able to pay my rent because my kids are in the hospital, there's nobody with a sensitivity to what I'm doing who I can turn to help me. My kids, and we went through this because my oldest daughter is now at Oglethorpe University. And I remember about a week before she had to graduate, she was in a crisis. She was in the hospital, and we were really concerned that she was not going to graduate. At a time when she should not be worried about anything but getting better, we were getting correspondence from the school saying, "Well, if she's not here to rehearse, she's not going to graduate." How insensitive!
Wow.
Is that?
I know, right? Oh
my God, awful.
So just the way that I deal, and it helps me by making sure that, in me advocating, when things happen, it's happening for my kids, but it's happening for other people. When I'm giving, the opportunity to be at tables where, they need to hear of the plight of families who are we're in the trenches. Oh, they get this work. I have spoken to Secretary Becerra, and I have told him, listen, I know that there's not a lot of funding, but our kids are – they're about to be adults. And the way they these people are treating adults, I am scared. And we need to do more to ensure that we have centers of excellence to treat people with sickle cell disease, adults and pediatrics. So I've always found that my fear seals my purpose. We started a scholarship initiative last year. And that's because in trying to navigate with my oldest daughter, get her into college, it dawned on me, these kids miss so many instructional hours, and it does impact their GPA. And, it does impact their ability to have these scholarships. And we do need help. So I told her, I know I can't write you a check, but if we aren't struggling like this, there are other families that are struggling. And I was like, in my kids' honor, we're going to give out 10 scholarships every year. And we did that last year. We're doing it again this year.
Warriors on the rise.
That's right. So it helps me.
That's so important.
To help others. And honestly, it really is helping me, because when we have these medications, my kids are on them. And now I want it to be available to other people's kids. Because sometimes just because you're in the U.S. doesn't mean you have access. I don't want to have access because I have a platform. I want every family to have access to it. Don't just advertise
it. That's beautiful.
I don't want to know just because I'm in the room with decision makers. I want everyone. It doesn't matter where you're born. It doesn't matter what part of this country you are, if you have internet or not, if you have sickle cell, you need to have access to these medications, because that's what they're for. They're for you, for your betterment. And oftentimes what we find is that, that access to care, even though we have medications here, patients still don't have access to care.
It's a crazy system, right?
It is.
I just applaud you for the work that you're doing. And audience, I hope I asked the questions for you if you had any, but we still have about, we may have to bring you back on for part two, but anyone have any questions for my pillar or Shirley in regards to the work that they're doing? Any questions as to anything that they've mentioned so far about the opportunities to be with the warriors, working and helping them with that, the bone marrow registry, the blood donation, and to make sure that, you know, those things are being satisfied. Sponsors, you may know someone that can sponsor, or you may want to be a sponsor your doggone self. So, and I get that financial need and how important that is, especially with the government here and the medical complex not really honoring the importance and the severity of a person having issues with and surviving with the sickle cell disease, and how that's going to take a lot of work, you know, to have that done. So, yeah, that whole lobbyist and legislation and thing is crucial.
It is. And listeners, please go to our website again. It's my3sicklers.org. You can see the initiatives. You can click on the link to shoot an email. The email is already set up for you to Congress for the Centers of Excellence for the adults when they come out of that, you know, the kid stage into the adult stage of it all. Just explore the website. Again, click on Get Involved, Become a Volunteer. Become, if you're high school going into college, if you want to be an intern, click on that intern link. Click on donate. Click on sponsor. And you will see, exploring that website, you will see where your dollars are going. It goes back into the community. It goes back into the families that reach out to us, that need our support, that need our help.
Shirley, spell the website for us, please.
My Three Sicklers is MyThreeSicklers.org.
Thank you. Yeah, I like to always spell it out just in case someone has a brain pause right there and don't get all the word out. So I just like to minimize any issues that we may have because we didn't ask, you know, like, I wonder how they spell that type of deal. So, oh my God. I believe you said that you have annual fundraising events here in the Atlanta area. Is that correct?
Yes, we have annual events. We have events. And I've shared this with Shirley, our biggest source of funding comes through Facebook because, as you said during the introduction, we have amassed over 50,000 global users. And so we do a lot of awareness and just encouraging the global sickle cell community by inspiring, you know, when I find people with sickle cell thriving in spite of this disease, I know that that's important to help someone who may not be feeling their best in that moment, or to just let them know that in spite of the disease, you too can thrive. So we always have content like that on our social media, well, as just regular education as I have provided today. And so what does happen is actually that's what I attribute it to, because every month people are choosing when it's time for them to make that ultimate decision on who to raise funds for their birthday, they choose our organization. These are people I've never met. A lot of them I don't know, but that's one of the biggest ways that we raise funds. People, you know, raising $10, $5, $20, if, you know, collectively, that helps. And people go to our website as well at my3sicklers.org, and we have the donation page on there for people to donate. You can make it a one-time donation, or you can make it a monthly donation. We have so many different options. I think we're able to meet supporters wherever they are. However you're able to help us, whether it is of, sometimes it's not always about money. I mean, money is good because there are people needing help from us financially, but literally you can give of your time, of your energy, of your network, of any kind of effort that you want to put into sickle cell, and we'll meet you where you are.
So is your Facebook, your social media handle, I think is the proper way to say that, is it My3Sicklers?
Yes, if you Facebook.com / My3Sicklers will take you to the page,
okay.
And you'll see MTS Sickle Cell Foundation, and My3Sicklers,
okay.
all other social media, and we have a Twitter account, but I don't really.
You sound like me now. I'll tell you, well, I'll be trying
between,
to keep up.
Between
with it,
Facebook and Instagram, I'm like, you know what, I'm good.
Yeah. That's why they have people that are dedicated to doing that, because it will just zap everything out of you otherwise.
Yeah.
And you don't get, you know, like the other stuff done. So I understand. Trust me, I understand. So that's good. I will make sure to follow you, because I don't think I have as of yet. And so, again, the website for the organization is My3Sicklers, S-I-C-K-L-E-R-S .org, and that's going to be their handle for social media. Reach out. Follow the lead or some of the suggestions that they had as far as making a donation, a monthly donation, support the organization. Check into the bone marrow registry and the blood registry as well. So for blood donations, now they can make a donation for anyone with sickle cell. How does that work? How would that be designated?
So you would just, and the American Red Cross have a sickle cell program. You can literally just say, I want the blood that I'm donating, I want it to go to a sickle cell patient. And any blood,
awesome.
Any blood bank, a lot of the blood collection organizations, they do have a program. What I also want to stress, too, is to never, you know, because there are times when people hear of my children's story and they want to donate blood specifically for them. I would never recommend that, because if you designate the blood for someone specific, if it's not used, it's going to get it's going to be thrown away. So
Point
never
well
designate
taken.
A blood for anyone. My kids get blood from people who very selflessly donated anonymously. And even if in your heart you're donating for my kids, just donate it for sickle cell patients so that, you know, whatever we're using, you get to replace it.
Right. Beautiful. Thank you for that. All right, so we have just about 2.5 minutes left in the show. It has been such an educational opportunity for me. I so appreciate all of the knowledge that you gifted us with, and for having such a passion and compassion for the work that you do And your children are blessed, and so are the rest of us, to have you, my pillar, to be able to deliver the message and put the urgency in us about what's going on as we become familiar, once again, for me, you know, with the whole sickle cell anemia, sickle cell disease issue that we face in our communities. So I'd like to give you these last couple of minutes to make whatever last comments you would like to the audience, please.
Yes, ma'am. Again, thank you so much for this platform. I'm always so grateful. As I said, sometimes it's just about allowing us the use of a platform, opening your doors to let us come in to educate whatever audience a person may have. And so sometimes I have, you know, because this is such a personal cause for me, but I never want my emotions to, you know, kind of supersede it, because sometimes that that can take over and your message is kind of blurred and whatnot. But sickle cell disease is truly a problem for this, for our people. And I think we need to learn a little more about sickle cell. And so with World Sickle Cell Day coming up, which is the same as Juneteenth, I want to encourage everyone who's listening to please go to my3sicklers.org. There are other organizations as well. There's the National Sickle Cell Disease Association of America, SCDAA. You can go to sicklecelldisease.org. The CDC has some facts on sickle cell disease. There's so many different, I mean, it's not a whole lot, but there are different platforms you can go to and get some information on sickle cell disease. We definitely don't want to, my advocacy has never been to tell people what to do in the comfort of their home, but definitely to empower people, because knowledge is power. And even if, as a lot of us have the trait, part of my advocacy too is to let families know, if you do have a child with sickle cell disease, this is not a death sentence. There are therapies available for you. There is support available for you. And to please not feel like you're alone in this. So once again, I want to thank you for allowing us this space, this very comfortable space, I would say, to be able to express and educate your audience. And it has been truly an honor to do this with Shirley. Shirley, we need to do this more. Like, well,
I know.
We need to do this more. Like, I love this.
Yeah.
I've never done this guys with Shirley. So thank you for doing this.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
I'm so excited, you know, because we keep learning, and especially here on Life, Love, and Wellness with Sandy Rogers Show, you know, it tickles me to bring on the workers, you know, like you guys are in the trenches in the community, and we don't know about you. We don't know your names. We don't know the names of your organizations. And so it's my honor and my pleasure to bring you forth and to introduce you to the world audience that listen in. I so appreciate you, and I just thank you so much for the work that you're doing. Oh my goodness, you guys keep it up, and we're behind you. We love you. We support you.
Thank you.
And we hold you in the highest of regard. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you
well, my
so
pillar
much. Thank you.
Shirley, you're welcome. Thank
we
you.
We appreciate
thank
you.
You. Yes. Appreciate you guys. And so we'll be back next week, you guys, with another, I believe we have the cast of the God Guys coming in next week. So stay tuned for 9 o'clock next Tuesday with another whole show. And you guys take care of yourselves. I love you. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night. You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.